Boston Man Show, friend of the show, the interim head coach of Texas State, my man TJ Johnson, 7th year in the year in Sun Belt play, doing big things. TJ, my guy, how you been, brother? What's up with you guys over in San Marcos, Texas, man?
Man, you know what? Usually I can say it's a sunny day in San Marcos. That's not so true right now, but it's not raining. So it's not quite Southern California. I can't say that it never rains, but certainly, you know, it's not a bad view out here in sunny San Marcos. But man, all is well. You know, we're chopping wood, man, trying to take one step at a time, you know, focus on the moment that we're in. And it's been good, you know, just like most of the teams in the country right now, trying to stay COVID free. And really just trying to manage these young men's bodies and minds as they go down to the home stretch of this conference play.
Yeah, it's 7-3 on the year, TJ, man. You guys have played well, except for that one team, the Raging Cajuns, they give me some trouble. But it was all close games, though. It wasn't like it was blowouts. So you could have won them games anyway. But, like, think about this thing, how – bless your team is to be 7-3 top of the Western Division in the Sun Belt right now, knowing that you could have done better if things went your way here or there. So knowing you have big games on this weekend as well. So tell us about that, man, keeping your guys' mindsets great, knowing that you're playing well and getting better day by day, as you said, chopping wood.
Yeah, certainly, you know, whenever you're going to play against one of the best coach teams and most talented teams in the conference, you know, you want to give yourself an opportunity to win it. You know, those guys have been playing together quite a bit, and they're well coached and well prepared, and they did a great job. You know, they came in here and swept us, and certainly we gave them all that they could handle at their place. They pulled out a game in overtime, the first one, and the second game at their place, we were able to, you know, play well consistently in the second half. So I think it's always going to be a tough matchup, you know, and certainly, you know, that's one of the teams that we look forward to playing every year, and hopefully that we can learn how to win like they've learned how to win throughout the courses of Coach Marlin's career. You know, he does a great job of preparing his team, and he didn't even coach the last one, but he had one of his assistants here. Brock did a great job with his team and prepared them, and they came in here and got the sweep. So hats got to go off to them. As far as, you know, UT Arlington, it's a rival game. So, you know, it's always an emotional game, you know, and hopefully our guys are ready to play. You know, I know Augie's going to have his guys ready to play as always. You know, it's always a tough game for us. They know us very well. And, you know, we're going to go out here and try to lock in and focus on the things on the controllables and try to put our best foot forward. So it's the Sun Belt. You know, it's no easy wins in this league. You know, it's no time for a break, you know, so we got to lock in, we got to focus, and we got to be connected. So I'm hopeful that our guys are preparing themselves for what looks to be an exciting finish to a great season thus far.
TJ, you have a nice big three, two guards and a forward there, man, that really leading your way, man, leading your top nine guys. Tell us about those three young men, man, what they individually mean to your roster, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, without returning, you know, Sun Belt Player of the Year, and not only Sun Belt Player of the Year, but Sun Belt Male Athlete of the Year, Nigel Pearson, we knew it was going to have to be by committee, you know. So, you know, definitely with Isaiah Small being our Swiss Army knife guy that can kind of do multiple things from the forward position. And, you know, his improved jump shot and, you know, certainly his ability to affect and impact the game on both ends has been great for us. You know, the emergence of Caleb Asbury as a consistent scorer and, you know, an improved defender is important. You know, he's getting the minutes, and as his minutes improve or increase, his play improves, I should say. And then, you know, just Mr. Everyday, the general is Mason Harrell. You know, sometimes big things come in small packages, and you know, he has the heart of a lion, and you know, he's a phenomenal player in person with high level skill, and but most of all, man, he just is a dog day competitor. And you know, when those three guys are clicking on all cylinders, I think we can be tough to beat.
Most definitely. And like you said, man, having that guy that's there every day, no matter what, good, brain shine, whatever, this guy gonna be there for you every day. Having that, knowing you have to have that guy to lead your team and to kind of be an example for everybody on your roster, that's to make you and your staff feel so good to know that Mason got your back and can kind of give that the locker room that talk that you want them to give. But from him being a peer, he can kind of pass message along to those guys and get them all in line for you to win these games you're winning.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it starts with this his upbringing, you know, and then, you know, just his desire to be great, you know, and to not make any excuses. And he works at it, man. You know, he works. He's not a player on our team that spends more hours in the gym. So I just have to say that, man, he comes from a great family, you know, his mother and his father and his grandparents, and have done a great job raising him. And, you know, he's a player that you, if you have to start a program today, you would want to start it with somebody like him. So he definitely makes my job a whole lot easier. It makes me look like I know what I'm doing. You know, you don't have to have a great play when you have a great player. So, you know, just it's sometimes the play is just make a play. And he's been able to do that for us. More often than not. So just loving the dad, appreciate him, and just his level of commitment and dedication to what it is that we're trying to do here.
Now, when we talked this summer, you kind of didn't have the feel for how we all do these back-to-back. So since we've done them, how is the feeling being having to prepare, having a weekly kind of routine with the back-to-backs, knowing that you got to play those two games? And how's it been trying to prepare your guys, knowing that you have a full routine now, you can kind of get them regimented in a certain way? So how's that been for you guys?
It's real. And it's so real, you know, boss. You get so locked in to where you are, I can't remember us doing it different. You know what I'm saying? It's weird. It's like, this is what we're doing. I can't remember doing it different, you know? So, yeah, the most important thing for us was to get a routine and to be consistent in that, win or lose, because you're not going to win them all. And when you lose, you can't say it's the routine that caused us to lose, you know? So, you know, you just got to be extremely careful with that. Then home games, they look a little bit different than away games because of the time. You know, your shoot around's a little bit longer because you're at home. I mean, excuse me, a little bit later. So because you're at home. So now you have to say, well, am I going to use that shoot time? So just all kinds of things. You're not in a hotel, so you don't know what your guys are doing on the night before a game or the night after a game, but before another game. So it's just so we try to keep it the same. And that same is, hey, man, this is a business trip. You know, whether or not you're taking it literally or figuratively, this is a business trip. We got a job to do. This is what we're here to do. You know, man, people are paying to come watch you play. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? You know, you guys will be playing somewhere for free. But at the end of the day, I think we've come to terms with who we are and our routine, and we're comfortable with it, and our guys are settled in it. So, you know, I'm just whatever back-to-backs, however long they last, this is going to be our routine.
Yeah, and the recovery piece for me is very important, because I know with the Hawks players, they'll be NBA guys. The recovery piece off of back-to-back is always the roughest part. So for you guys, is it a rest day, a light lift day, or no nothing to get the guys' mindsets fresh again for the next week? How are you approaching that part of the game there?
Well, it's easier when you're on the road, like I said. You got them jokers right there with yourself. Yes. Basically, we have a almost like a pregame meal after the game on Friday. So, you know, we're eating good. We're eating salt grass or some kind of steak restaurant where they're eating pretty good after the game. So, and then they go straight to ice baths and boots and they shut down, you know, and got Pedialyte and all kind of electrolytes going through them. You know, they got a certain level of fluid intake and we shut it down. Then we wake them up late, you know, they get up somewhere around 10 o'clock, you know, which is not a team meal. It's basically you got breakfast in bed, you know, so we try to get them fed. And then somewhere around about 10:45, 10:50, bring them in, let them start watching film. And the motto is we get one day better. We're not addressing a whole lot of things. You know, you got all kind of pet peeves. If you don't think we can get better at it in one day, we're not showing it. Then right after film, they have about a 15 to 20 minute rehab session again, where they may even roll out or get stretched out with bands. And then after that, we have pregame meal and we shut it down again, and then we get back after it. So that's been our routine on the road. Our routine at home is pretty similar. We do not go to shoot arounds, whether on Saturday. We're just not about to do that. We're not going to have walkthroughs. You know, I mean, we prepare all throughout the week. Once we shut it down, the hay is in the barn and it's go time. So if you're locked in and you're focused, I tell our guys all the time, hey, man, where preparation meets opportunity, there is a challenge. You can't do but one or two things. You're either going to fight or you're going to flight. Bottom line, no excuses. Meet me at the scratch line. I'll be there. You know, so we give our guys confidence that they're prepared. And once you do that, you let them know that this is an opportunity and there's a challenge and you need to meet it. And sometimes that could be mentally, that sometimes that could be emotionally, and sometimes that could be physically. And in the real good ones, real good games, it's gonna be all three. So so that's pretty much our routine, and we try to stick to it.
And I think you showing it this year, TJ, 2020, COVID year, new interim coach, doing big things, brother. Your team should look at you as an example of opportunity and attacking and winning, because you could have been like, man, so this is a COVID year. I just got to write this off. But nah, man, you were attacking it head on and got your team playing well, positioned to do well in March, COVID willing. So I think, brother, you are the example for your team of perseverance and opportunity and getting the job done and attacking the day and winning the day.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. Certainly humbling.
Yes, indeed. That's TJ. I love you. I love you, like a brother, man. But I gotta ask you, man, your Saints, man, they let me down, man. I was cheering for them. It was hard for me, TJ. You know, as being a Falcon, man, to cheer again for the Saints is hard. And when I ride with the Saints, TJ, you let me down, because I don't like Tom Brady in the Buccaneers for what they did to me in 2017 in Houston. I can't get over that. So I need y'all to do it for me. What happened, man?
You know what, man? Let me just say this, man. It's really hard to beat a team three times. And certainly they made the necessary adjustments. I knew it was going to be hard. You know, the Saints' biggest thing that they have going on, the best thing that they do is keep you guessing, you know. With the injuries that we had, and Kamara being the only guy that was available in the backfield, wasn't a three-headed monster with Murray or Taysom Hill, and then with Drew Brees not being able to throw the ball 40 yards down the field, more like 20, you know, Mike Thomas, you know, coming off the bad ankle, you know, no excuses, but to beat a team that is peaking while you're declining is literally impossible, and those guys were peaking on the defensive side of the ball, and as you can see, I mean, there's some bad boys on that defensive side of the ball for the Buccaneers, and they dominated the playoffs. And that's the storyline. Tom Brady is great in his own right, but when your defense holds Patrick Mahomes to 9 points and do what they did to the Saints and do what they did to Aaron Rodgers, man, what are we talking about here? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah,
Ty Bowles. Man, the dude deserves a whole lot of credit, probably more than what he's getting for sure.
I think Leftwich, Bowles, and Bieniemy deserve a job.
Yeah, no question.
they all three of them brothers deserve jobs for what they did. And, you know, Keith Armstrong was in Atlanta. The special teams coach for the Bucs was in Atlanta with Dan Quinn. So I remember him as well. So now, TJ, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Jared Cook's fumble changed everything. Because they were driving to go by 14, putting the Bucs in a bind, and that fumble gave them new life. And I'm like, dang, Jared, you gave them new life, you know, but that's been Jared Cook's career, though. Even in Tennessee, he fumbled. In Green Bay, he fumbled. I mean, that's his thing. He holds the ball loose. So, that's surprising.
Talented young fella. He really is, you know, but there's still something missing. You know, there's still something missing. And like you say, it's been his whole career. Something that, that is something that if you're going to get better at it, you know, they say if you're ever going to be great, like the little things have to matter. And it has to bother you enough to where you're offended by it and you're appalled by it. And that's, and you boss, you know, Tiki used to turn that thing over.
All the time.
Fumbled the crap out of the ball all the time. And he said, you know what? I know I can block. I know I can run. I can catch out the backfield. What I can't do is hold on to the ball. So what did he do? Dedicated a whole offseason to being able to hold on to the ball. Change his clutch. If it makes me a little bit slower, I don't care. I'll get stronger. So maybe I can hold on to the ball a little bit. His placement, everything changed. And he was phenomenal because he started holding on to the ball. Started holding it high and tight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when contact was coming, he protected it. Jared's still loose, you know, young. And hopefully that's something that he needs to that he feels that he needs to change. And he puts the time into getting it done because that certainly changed the momentum. You're absolutely right.
You know who I like? Johnson Harris, little kid Harris. I like that kid. I like him a lot. I see his Peyton trying to use him more and more. I mean, next year that guy should get a lot of touches because whether it's Taysom Hill or James Winston is the quarterback, it's probably going to be Hill based on what they're paying him. And Winston probably the backup, but he's going to get hurt doing what he do. So it's probably going to be Winston the backup, Hill starting, and Winston be like Bridgewater, get him a job 2022 somewhere. But I really love Harris, for real. I like him a lot.
I mean, I wish we can get, to be honest, which I'd like to keep Taysom Hill where he is, and I'd like to keep James where he is. I hope that we can get somebody that I think kind of fits us a little bit better. You know, the quality guys out there that kind of fits the mold a little bit better. Certainly, you know, it's a destination place. If you're a quarterback and you want to throw the ball 40 times a game, you certainly come there with all kind of weapons. But, you know, all of that's based upon people and their contracts and where they're at right now. So,
I don't know. Saints cap is bad, bro. Like the Falcons, the cap is terrible.
Yeah, we haven't done a great job with that. So, certainly, Drew giving back $20 million or so helps out a little bit. But, you know, man, it's a brutal sport. These guys need their money. And, you know, maybe we can do like Tampa Bay did, get something going for a year, try to put all our eggs in one basket, see if we can get it going one last time.
I still think the Falcons are going to be number three in the division behind the Saints and the Bucks. We don't have a chance to beat neither one of y'all next year. I was going to say it right here. TJ, I'm not delusional. I'm a fan that's not delusional. I know where we stand. We have a bad cap, aging Matt Ryan, aging Julio Jones, I'm not a fool.
It's a tough division. It's a tough division. And like you say, man, you gotta come correct in this division. You can't be, it's not one for the old and faint at heart. So we got to just try to get a good balance of young players. So, but the talent is there, you know, on both sides of the ball for you guys. You guys got a young core receivers that are going to be some bad boys, and certainly them linebackers, man, just something about them LSU linebackers. Them boys ain't playing around in the NFL right now.
Definitely.
Y'all got Debo over there, and you just saw what Devin White did. That number 45 is scary. If a linebacker wasn't number 45, he can play. Leave that boy alone.
You got that right. Yeah. Hey, I was praying for a split between the Falcons and the Bucks and the Saints. Because we'll sweep Carolina probably, but split with y'all because we ain't sweeping nobody. And hopefully with a new coach, we can close in the fourth quarter. That's a problem. That's a problem for us.
I don't know how it's gonna go, but man, I'm just hope we can stay healthy and just have a game. If we can get the calls that they were calling against the Chiefs, man, hell, we'd have had three Super Bowl rings by now if we'd have had that officiating crew.
Hey, you all done got screwed in multiple years. I gotta be real. See, fans hate me today because I gotta be fair. As much as I'm a Falcons biased, I'm an analyst first. I gotta be fair. Right. The Saints have been screwed. You know, I got to put my hatred of the Saints aside and be truthful about it. You got screwed. There's no other way to put it.
We need some of them zebras they had on Sunday night. They were throwing that thing, throwing that long throw around. So hey. They wanted to be a part of it. They said, "I ain't just come to the Super Bowl to watch." That's a play.
And you know how Buzz and Bob's are gonna say, "They somebody called them," and like you know how the barbershop brothers be like, "I mean, you know they paid them off. They know they paid them off."
Man,
you know how the barbershop boys be going after the bro. You know how they be.
But it's just tough, you know. There's so much contact that goes on. You can throw something on every play, but at the end of the day, man. You know, you got to kind of let those grown men, you know, they got to play through some of that stuff.
No doubt. Well, TJ, we'll talk to you about your Saints, man, and your team, brother. Hey, man, keep on chopping wood, and I'm going to bang the drum for you. Texas State, do this man right, people. Come on now. Get this man in there fully, brothers. TJ, you my guy, man. I appreciate your time as always, brother. Stay safe and be blessed, my guy.
Appreciate you, boss, man. God bless, man.
You too, brother.